Welcome to another episode of Rhythm and Brews. I've got some very special guests with me here today. I've got Kat and Chinmo from Conquest. Hey, guys.
Hey,
what's going on?
And they are here to talk me through Beastie Boys.
A band I enjoy very much.
Yeah, we're talking about what topic would make sense to have you guys on for, and I just, for some reason, it clicked in the back of my head that you're a huge Beastie Boys fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I've obviously heard a handful of their hits over the years, but never been like super, it never got super into them. So I always like to use these episodes as like an educational opportunity for myself. So
kind of dig deeper into certain artists.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
Before we get into it, I'm going to have you guys basically kind of introduce me, walk me through the Beastie Boys as though you're teaching it to an idiot who's never even heard of these guys. But before we get into that, we'll do our BYOB segment. Chinmo doesn't drink, so he's in.
I have my nice bottle of
our
water.
Designated driver role today. Mm-hmm. But Kat, you brought a beer. Do you want to tell us what you brought?
I did. I brought two beers from the same brewery. It is a brewery from New Zealand called the Yeasty Boys, which I thought was appropriate.
So topically appropriate.
So I have their Pot Kettle Black, which is their black IPA, and then I have Dark Matta, which is their porter.
Nice.
What do you got, Tim?
I brought a beer called Ginormous Imperial IPA by the Gigantic Brewing Company. The reason I picked this is the beer label has a robot, a giant robot on the cover of it, and it reminded me of the robot from the Intergalactic video. Yeah. And I
it actually really does look like it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So I said, hey, why not? And I do love a good IPA, so.
Cool.
Yeah, let's crack these open.
That's a nice sound effect there. I hope that got picked up. I like that.
Kat, what are you starting with?
I was drinking coffee earlier, so I'm going to start with the porter. Segue that way.
I'm going to stick with my Poland Springs water.
Let's get into it. Here, I'll tell you what I know about these guys, and I'll have you fill in the gaps for me chronologically. So I know I'm told they started as a punk hardcore band, basically, before pivoting into the style we know them for.
Mm-hmm.
I know a couple of songs, probably a bunch of songs that are on both of your playlists.
A lot of the big hits.
But I have like favorites out of those. I love Sabotage and I love Intergalactic, but I couldn't even tell you where in their musical careers those songs take place. So why don't we just start with their first album, License to Ill. We'll have you guys share a couple of your faves off of that album and then kind of give me your sense of what that album meant at the time, how it was received and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
There's some really interesting history to this album and their career at that time.
Yeah, it was 84, right? 1984.
Yep.
Def Jam.
Yeah.
This is their first real big... first big like hip-hop label really out there.
Yeah, and they had like a self-produced EP before this based on their Cookie Puss prank call.
Yes.
And that was what segued them into rap and hip-hop because they were a hardcore punk band before that. And someone had like taken the prank call and like remixed it over a beat, and then they like did a few other songs and released that as an EP. And that got traction, which led to them getting signed by Def Jam for this album.
Yeah, I remember hearing a story how they were looking for a DJ and they wanted someone with a bubble machine. And someone gave them like Rick Rubin's number.
Yeah.
And he ended up being like their DJ.
An NYC student or NYU student at the time.
Yeah. And they always tell the joke how he still never had the bubble machine.
Yeah.
Which I thought was always pretty funny.
This was actually their only record with Def Jam?
Yes, because after that, I think Paul's Boutique moved to...
Capitol.
Yes.
And they did a majority of their albums there.
Yes, I think so.
Because they actually... So, License to Ill has all of the, like, a majority of their mainstay classics on it. I would say one
Should
that
I
everyone
throw one
knows.
One?
Yeah, you
yeah,
can...
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
I think Fight for Your Right
Yeah, that's
on
that's like
ours.
The big one.
Yeah, that's...
There it is right
kinda
there.
It's kind of like the early Andrew... WK stuff are just like a great party jam.
It is, and it got so big and popular because of this is where MTV really started to pick up, and like the music videos were first kind of introduced, and they were one of the first music videos to be played on MTV.
And so the music videos were always awesome.
It was great.
Yes.
It's literally them just at a party, showing up and trashing it.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. But yeah, just this video just kept getting replayed and replayed over and over again on MTV, and that's why it became so popular.
Yeah, and they actually, this album was huge for them. I think it it charted like very high in Billboard.
I think it was like quite possibly the first like hip hop album to do it, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not positive. Don't quote me on that.
It's interesting too, because this is like a rock song. Like I wouldn't think of this as a hip hop song.
Well, that's what I really like about them.
Yeah, that's how I got into Beastie Boys.
Yeah, they're like an alternative hip hop where they have those rock undertones and they bring their influence from their punk days. And later on, they really experiment with a bunch of different musical types underneath their raps and mixing with their beats, which I think is really creative and intuitive, and it stands out in this genre of music, and maybe brings people into it that wouldn't necessarily.
That's how I got into it, because I've never really been a big music person in general. Mm-hmm. Like I'll listen to whatever I think
sounds
good.
You're like more of a medium-sized music person.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But like growing up, all my mom ever played in the car or anything was classic rock, and that's all I got till middle school or so, because I had no other real experience or like exposure to other music.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got older, I started watching like MTV and stuff, and this video actually quite right would still be played every once in a while.
Yeah.
And I heard this and a handful of their other big hits from License to Ill, and I wasn't a huge fan of rap, which became much popular when I was in middle school in that age. Like I enjoyed it, but it just wasn't my taste. Like wasn't for me.
Yeah.
But this really got me much more into hip hop and rap.
Yeah.
And just because of their blend of like kind of like their hardcore music, like their rock music with they get the kind of the rap lyrics, and it really drew me in, and now they are one of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah, and they're super influential in that way too. But with this one, so early on, this whole album was a hit. I'm pretty sure it went platinum, but
I believe it did.
Yeah. It was huge. They toured with LL Cool J.
Oh, really?
Who they discovered, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. They were listening to, I think, like mixtape sent in for Def Jam, and starting to do with Ad Rock, and he was talking about how he heard this, and this was like the first one he gave to Rick Rubin, and now the world has LL Cool J.
Yeah. And it was like, so they toured this, and they toured with LL Cool J, and it was such a boisterous show. And there's a lot of like, there was a lot of controversy around it at the time. Like they had women dancing in cages on the stage, and like a 10-foot mechanical penis, and like
Jesus.
Stuff.
Yeah, they were very like raunchy and pushed the envelope.
And
for
it got
their
really
time.
Rowdy. And they kind of had, they got the stigma of being frat rap. So a lot of artists in the hip hop community didn't really take to them or welcome them because of just how like they're just like, oh, these are white boys that like to party, and they're trying to appropriate our music for that.
Yeah.
Which, fair enough.
Yeah.
The song that actually I think changed a lot of like rappers at the time, like Mines, was on this album, Hold It Now, Hit It, which is a fantastic, it's one of my favorite songs. And that because they fucked up when they put it on the album. They put it on a cappella version, so there's no real instruments when they're singing, and that is what gained them like respect throughout the rapping community, like the hip hop community, which I found pretty cool.
Maybe I'll throw that one out because we already got a good some exposure to their rock type rap.
Yeah, I love this song. Great video too, and what I like about this song in particularly so much. You always, like, if you go back and watch any interviews or anything with them, they always talk about, like, well, what do you decide goes on an album? And they always talk about how they just try to make each other laugh in the studio. And if they make each other laugh, like, it goes on the album. And that's what this whole song basically is. It's about them just kind of, like, fucking around, and they kind of go into it, and it's great.
Yeah, that's one of the awesome aspects of them is you can sense, like, they're a genuine bond and they just love what they do together.
Exactly.
Like, they have a blast no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it fun to listen to them because that comes through in their music and their raps. Like, when they can poke fun at each other, and, you know, tell their story through their music and give fans a deeper look into what their dynamic is.
Yeah, very well said.
I'm looking through the track list too, and it's so diverse. Like, the song Girls is so much different than this. This is very different from No Sleep Till Brooklyn and Fight for Your Right.
It's a good range. This is arguably my favorite album of all time. There might be like a few other ones in there from like any band. I absolutely love this album.
It's a stacked album, and there, like Tim said, there's so much variety. Like, how often do you hear cowbells in hip hop?
Right.
Not very often. Probably for a good reason.
like you said, you both had a ton of songs off this record on your playlist, so maybe we probably don't have time to get to all of them. But is there any other one, any other standout that we'd be remiss to not
from
mention?
This album particularly? Yeah. I love the new style, especially the last verse. The last verse, the new style, and the beginning really get me. Yeah, which I actually never knew until I really got into Beastie Boys. But Let Me Clear My Throat, they said it first. They are the first
really?
Ones. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It goes into the last verse in this, and it's ad rock, just yelling, "Let me clear my throat," and that's where it comes from.
Huh.
Fun little fact. But yeah, it's great.
Another one on this that I think is pretty well known is Brass Monkey.
Oh, I love Brass Monkey.
The boy I had a crush on in eighth grade, his screen name was Brass Monkey 99.
Good old AIM days.
Yeah. Showing my age.
Brass
there.
Monkey is awesome. It's so quick and it's so like a fun little. It's literally just about talking about them talking about drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which fits this podcast pretty
damn
well.
That beat is so fun too.
Right. That's what a lot of their beats are very not what you'd expect almost in a rap song, and they're just so goofy and almost out of place that they but they work so well.
They really do.
I can't believe how much. I mean, this is on purpose, I'm sure, but they remind me so much of The Lonely Island.
Okay, I can you can definitely see some influences.
It totally, yeah.
Especially in the within Popstar, their band Style Boys, like that is Beastie Boys.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's literally what they have to be going for.
Yeah, it definitely is what they have to be going for. And a lot of those, the beats from the songs on that, like Rock Roll Skate and Sick Glenda.
Totally.
And Donkey Roll especially are all very
That movie's so fucking good.
It really is.
I love Lonely Island too.
But yeah, this album, not only Lonely Island, but you can just see it in so many, especially if you hear like any or like listen to any rappers and hip hop artists today, or if you see like any interviews with them. Actually, I remember seeing an interview with Eminem, who I actually really enjoy. I'm not a huge fan of the rap genre, but I do really enjoy Eminem.
His raps are pretty intelligent.
And he was talking about how he knew every word to every song off this album, which is pretty awesome.
And it's a testament too, because this is over 20. It's over 30
years
old.
It's over
30
years old, yeah.
And it stands up so well.
It
like
does.
These songs are still classics, and people still gravitate to them and get psyched when they come on at parties. They
if
still
you hear
pump
fight,
you up.
If you're at a party and Fight for Your Right comes on, it's a song because it's not like it's hip hop and like rap, but it's also got that classic. It's got that rock beat to it.
Yeah.
And the lyrics are so recognizable where everybody knows them. Everybody just gets into it.
Yeah, it even almost has that same kind of beat as like We Are the Champions, where it's just like doom, doom.
Exactly.
Where it just like gets you
pumped up,
amped up.
A lot of their songs too. That's why I like it. It's back when I used to go to the gym, a lot of their songs were on my playlist. Just it got you going.
When we were listening through some of this week, we were talking about how like. They're very influential, and they stand out in places where you don't even realize it. Like, Tim, when you're like, oh, Sum 41 is definitely influenced by them, especially in Fat Lip.
Oh,
yeah. Because I was always like, oh, they're just doing punk with rap over it. And then I was like, oh, yeah. That's what Beastie Boys is, basically. Like, you could... That rap, like, doctor said my mom should have had an abortion. Like, that... Even lyrically is very reminiscent of Beastie Boys.
they just got goofy and they just had fun and played with it, and I love it.
Yeah, and there's a very, like, no fucks kind of attitude as well. It reminds me a lot of, like, spiritually of Blink-182.
Yeah. Who had become one of my favorite bands. But yeah, they were all really young when this came up. They were all like 19, 20 in that range. And then they just blew up and were like the biggest band in the world at the time. And
well,
that's crazy.
That's a great point and probably a good transition to their next record. That was their big breakout. All of those songs are super recognizable. Like I said, mm-hmm. I was never hugely into them, but I know like pretty much every one of those songs you guys listed off. So that just speaks to how successful and well-known that record was. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the track list for their next one. I believe it's Paul's Boutique.
Paul's Boutique, right? Yep.
And there's a stark difference in the track names the number of track names I recognize, because I frankly don't think I recognize any of them.
Yeah.
So this must not have been as commercially successful.
No, and this one, so the License to Ill tour was so rowdy that like police started having to go to the shows, and Ad Rock was actually arrested mm-hmm. at a show in England for like assault, like physical assault, because they're just like brawling at the show. And Def Jam was like, listen, we can't have this. Like, we're not cool with you guys being this way. Like, you need to take it down a little bit. And it just like ended up being such a relationship where they couldn't get on the same page that they were released from the label.
Jesus.
And they,
that's huge. Even in like, with it being such a big record, you could see them at least forgiving it and trying to make it work for another album.
Yeah, so they wanted to do something totally different. They signed over to Capitol and wanted to make something that was more creative and less commercial.
It's very sample heavy album.
Yeah. Hmm. They I was reading that this is seen as the Pet Sounds of hip hop because it's so like experimental, and at the time like it wasn't commercially received, but people in the hip hop community really responded to it, and especially the beats. They worked with the Dust Brothers on this, and they did, like you mentioned, Shin, a large amount of sampling to create a lot of varieties of beats. So it was more experimental for them and a little bit more artistic. And they actually, this is, I think, one of the only albums they recorded outside of New York. This one they did in L.A., but most of them were done in New York.
Yeah, because they're all from Brooklyn and Manhattan. Yeah. This album was actually the first, because a lot of times, especially like back in like the 90s, early 2000s, like when we grew up, a lot of people like think like rap, like, oh, you just take parts of other songs and like that's all it is. Mm-hmm. And this, I'm pretty sure this was the first time that an artist was like sued for using another, like for like how much samples.
For sampling, basically.
Yeah,
this was the first time that this happened.
Yeah, because they sample two Beatles songs on this album. And Mike D was like, what's more rock and roll than being sued by the Beatles? Which is pretty sweet.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, are there standouts on this one? Maybe fewer, but
my favorite song on this one is "Hey Ladies." It's just so goofy, and
again, more cowbells.
It is a lot of cowbells in this. Yeah, goes in, the video for this is also right. It's very like a disco video almost.
Yeah,
they're on like the
John Travolta Saturday Night Fever.
Immediately, you hear it's the departure beat. Though.
Oh yeah, it's a great one though.
Just like, sitting here dancing in my chair.
Yeah, it's funky as hell.
Yeah. Well, they specifically instruct you, well, at least me and the other ladies, to get funky. So,
but yeah, this is a great song.
Yeah,
this is probably my favorite off this album.
I could see this being like one of the less experimental or more accessible songs on a more out there album.
Yeah.
Do you have any standouts for you, Kat?
So my standout on this is another more mildly mainstream as Shake Your Rump.
Oh, that's a good one.
Another
Shake
instruction
Rump's
song.
Shake Your Rump's pretty great.
The Kanye's workout plan before it's time.
Right. So what's cool about this and them working with Dust Brothers is they were like at the time a pretty like club heavy group, the Dust Brothers. And this beat they had actually made to play in clubs just like as a straight up club beat.
Dance beat,
Dance beat. And they were gonna strip it down, and Beastie Boys were like, no, we want the whole thing. Like, just give us a song as it is and we'll rap over it. And I think it works really well. Again, that's one of my favorite things about them is they, while they are hip-hop artists, they don't hold themselves specifically to hip-hop beats, so they can get in here and get a dance beat and get some disco beats and pull in those rock elements.
They go all, especially like later on with the rock.
Later on,
they get really into the rock.
And it really works so well. It's such a nice blending of the genres without feeling too unbalanced one way or the other. And I think this album is one of the precursors to them like really playing around with a different variety of music
it shows
styles
through the whole thing. And
yeah, it's now considered like one of the top hip hop albums of all time.
And it's well worth it. It's well deserved.
Yeah, and it sucks because Capital was like, this is weird, and they didn't really promote it. And it's like one of their most critically acclaimed.
Yeah, I do know that when this album came out, they made a Beastie Boys like American flag, which you probably see. You can probably find it places. But I saw a thing. It was like a documentary on the Beastie Boys or something like that. And they were talking about how Capitol Records put that flag up because it was during a time when George Bush Sr. made it legal to change the American flag for like a day. And so they did that and they put it up and then they had to like take it down after. But on just recently or a little while ago, they did the 20th or the 25th anniversary of Paul's Boutique.
Yeah.
And Capitol Records put this flag back
up. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Which is pretty cool.
So from there, this album not as well received commercially or critically, at least not at the time. But Check Your Head, is that the next album?
That, yes.
According to Spotify.
Yep.
According to Spotify.
This episode brought to you by Spotify. So tell me, what's this? Where are they at now? Is this just like a comeback record because they're maybe perceived as almost a one-hit wonder type of group at that point? Or
I don't know if they'd really be like the one-hit wonder type band because like they were so many hits off of
Less
to Ill. And there was an audience for Paul's Boutique. It just wasn't as widely recognized or as accepted as License Ill was.
Well, so are there standouts on Check Your Head for either of you?
I think we both had So What You Want on our list.
Yeah, that's a great song.
I think this is one of the biggest standouts. You can hear the beat in this song when I hear it. It's very like Cypress Hill to me. It's more of that like darker hip hop vibe, a little more classic with like almost an organ.
Yeah, which they kind of get into.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. And this video has stuck with me for so long because it's one of the most bizarre visually.
That's what I would actually seen. Like, I don't know if we'll get to this towards the end more, but their videos in general are something they must talk about.
If you have things to say about music videos, by all means, we can explore it.
So the music video for this is feels very 90s, but not in a dated way. There was a time in the 90s where music videos were very bright, had very bright color palettes. Like if you think of Basket Case and Black Hole Sun and So What You Want, they're just like very vibrant colors.
Yeah.
And this one, it's them like in the woods just rapping, and it's really close-ups of their face.
It's almost like a park, right? Like a woodsy park.
Yeah, a woodsy park, and they're just kind of like walking and rapping, but like they're very muted, and then the sky behind them is like this deep cerulean blue.
Yeah.
And during like the chorus parts, it's showing almost like not natural disaster stuff, but like waves crashing and like sunbursts.
It's almost
like that.
It's almost like a painting moving.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
It's very trippy, for sure.
Yeah, this is like I just said about Paul's Boutique, but this is my favorite song off this album. I think this was a pretty big hit at the time.
Yeah,
I'm just sitting here bobbing my head. Yeah. Like,
I know it's so hard not to get distracted by how catchy it is,
and just like. Their voices are so recognizable, especially Ad Rox. It just like has a quality that blends so well with the music that they decide to use.
What they go for, which is cool because if you just heard their voices normally, it's not very, we were talking about this before. Yeah. They're not like great singers or anything like that, but it's something about their voices that fits so well with how the music they make.
Yeah, it's very great. Like everyman almost, where you're just like, all right, like
yep.
There's nothing particularly incredible about their voices, but exactly. They are special and unique enough that you're like, this is interesting to me. I'm hooked by the sound of this.
Very in-your-face voices.
Yeah.
To paraphrase New Style.
And I forgot what I was going to say.
That's fine. So where do we go from here? Next, looks like the next album is Ill Communication.
Ill Communication.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say this is probably... After License to Ill, this was their more like one of their more mainstream hits, and I think they can thank Sabotage for that.
Yes, I'd say arguably Sabotage. A lot of people will argue that Sabotage is their greatest song, and I'm not going to argue with that. I highly enjoy it, and it's such a not departure from what they've been doing, but it's you can definitely hear
it's a return to their rock roots.
They go
for sure.
much more back into the rock roots,
but it's also way tighter.
It is.
There's some. This song is, probably my favorite song by them.
It's a great song. It's by far my favorite music video of all time.
Yeah, it's
Spike
so good.
Jones directs it. They are detectives, like Cochise, and the big
like
mustaches.
The 70s cop shows.
It's amazing.
It's especially that voice sounds so. It's perfectly matched to the beat and to the guitar riff, and it's. Beastie Boys at their best, I think. It's like
the
best of all of
it has that weird beat.
Their
like
elements.
Almost like the scratching and everything there.
Mm-hmm.
But
like,
it's so good.
One of the things that I really want to credit them for is every album is an evolution and they get stronger and they get tighter and more interesting.
Every time they go up.
Even their raps get better. Like I think their lyric writing is a lot more polished at this point than it was on License to Ill.
Yeah. Oh, this song's so good. I love that they...
It's used in so many... It's such a classic, like, pump-you-up kind of rock song.
A lot of their songs are like this. It's so good.
Yeah, it's kind of like that Queen thing where, like, if you put this in a movie trailer, I'm going to want to see it. Because I will be like, yes, this is awesome.
This song, I mean, I read a thing because they don't want their music to be used to sell stuff.
Good.
And how they don't want their music in commercials and stuff like that. But I think it was...
That's so interesting that they've got like that kind of artistic integrity. Yeah. I wouldn't have expected that.
And I saw... I think it was Mike D was being interviewed, and he was talking about... But they always try to say yes to movies because it's like a creative expression.
Yeah.
I guess most recently, this has been pretty famous for being in the new J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies. Because actually, it was pretty cool because them as a band, they're huge Trekkies in general. They love Star Trek. And it's used so well, which I think is... like it just fits so well with like the build up and the way it comes in, and they bring it back in the third one Beyond,
it's
pretty sure they call it classic rock classical or something like that, and it's a great just laugh line in that movie.
Yeah,
there's another song on this album, Bodhisattva Vow, that sticks out to me because it's very experimental. They have like
what's it called?
The Bodhisattva, I can't pronounce it.
I found it.
Bodhisattva Vow, yeah. So this one, they actually have, like, monks.
They got very into, like, Tibetan monk, like, freedoms.
Yeah.
They were, like, a big vocal voice for that.
Yeah, so they actually started their own musical festival for Tibet to, like, help raise awareness and to, like, raise money for it. And Adam Yauch actually converted to Buddhism and actually became very close with the Dalai Lama. And that was, like, a huge thing for him. And they, a lot of the proceeds from the Tibetan shows, like, helped. I think they started the first one to help pay back the monks that they had on this particular song.
I think that's how it started.
Is it still, well, probably not anymore, but it was active like into the 2000s, wasn't it?
It was going, I don't know if it is still going, but it was going for a long time.
Yeah,
and it was a huge festival. You can see videos of it all online.
Yeah.
And they became kind of like a face like the face of this. Yeah, which is pretty cool.
I think something that they isn't very well known about them is how active they are.
They were very
in like the humanities.
That's how, like, that's like how
so
put it.
They're not socially, they're socially active, and I don't think that people know that like a lot about them.
People hear Beast Boys are like, oh, just three punk kids rapping around, like causing trouble. But they actually did a lot for.
You sounded like such a narc just then.
Exactly.
These punk kids.
Yeah. Oh, God. Punk kids running around. The baggy jeans and the. No.
Their backwards caps.
But they have done a lot for like humanities, like the communities, and they've. Charity. They have done. They're not just a rap. They've done a lot for. Like Tibet, that's what they're known for.
Yeah.
Kind of like charity wise.
Yeah, they do a lot of charity work for like, they're very anti bullying. They are allies in the LGBT community, which
that's really nice to hear. Yeah.
They, you know, when they started, they were young punk kids.
They were young, stupid. We are. Yeah, young, stupid teenagers.
Yeah, and they have acknowledged that in their past raps, they said things that were misogynistic or maybe ignorant or, you know, insulting to some people in some cultures.
Homophobic. And, yeah, sure.
And they've apologized for that. They're like, listen, none of it was okay. We're not trying to, like, seek forgiveness. Justify it.
But we want our fans to know that that's not who we are anymore.
Exactly. They're like, we've grown up. We've matured. Like, we've acknowledged our ignorance, and we can only apologize and be better.
There's and it's crazy how common an arc that is for a lot of bands. I think of, Odd Future. I don't know how much exposure you guys have to them, but it's got like Tyler the Creator, Earl Sweatshirt, and Frank Ocean, and they had definitely had some fucked up, really homophobic lyrics in their early stuff, and the way that Tyler the Creator kind of frames it now is like, we don't actually have those feelings. We were just angry kids trying to say the most outrageous things we could say to get attention. And it doesn't make it okay that we said those things, but just we needed to be known that it wasn't coming from a place of hate, and we were young, dumb kids, and we know better than that now. And I mean, even myself, like, I had way more messed up views about, patriarchy, and, I used the word gay in a negative way for way longer than I wish I had. Like, that's kind of like a black mark on my,
It also has to do like with the time you grow up into.
Yeah. Like generationally. And that doesn't make it okay. But no. I mean, we've all definitely done that. And
I guess the point I'm trying to make is that I like the idea that people can redeem themselves or evolve. And I hope that as a culture, we're able to move past those types of things if people are willing to admit that they were wrong.
Yeah. And it's always admirable too when people are like, listen, I said some really shitty things. I did some really shitty things. I'm not going to try to justify it. I'm going to apologize it and try to apologize for it and be a better person.
Move on.
And move on. Yeah. And, you know, in the particular climate today, there are some actions that doesn't work for.
No.
Especially in terms of a lot of the like sexual misconduct.
Yeah.
Things
sexual violence stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole different story, but, using certain language that at the time you didn't realize how offensive it is. And then being like, you know what, that's who I was then. I'm not going to deny that that was like my view or a part of who I was at that time, but I've evolved and like evolve with me. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to acknowledge.
I think they have done that hugely, I think.
Yeah.
Which is just another reason I love them.
One of my favorite lines on that, I think it's from Patton Oswalt saying, it's either him or Sarah Silverman, but just saying, yeah, maybe PC culture has gone a little bit too far, but at the same time, how much effort is it for you not to say gay or retarded?
Right.
Like, it's not inconveniencing you that much.
Right.
That language can be really hurtful to certain people. I think PC culture can go too far if it's legitimately trying to silence legitimate speech, but most of what PC culture is saying is don't be a douchebag.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, put what you're going to say through a filter and make sure that when it comes out of your mouth, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Well said.
So Adam Yauch passed away.
MCA, RIP.
Yeah. A few years ago.
I was so sad. That was really sad. He was sick for a long time.
Cancer,
though.
Right?
Yeah. And it was like a really weird cancer too. It was an artery near the lymph node.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very strange. But
yeah, he was sick for a long time. You can kind of tell in like some of their later performance and stuff, like he wasn't fully there, and yeah. it just sucks.
And there was a park in Brooklyn that was renamed for him. It's just the Adam Yauch Park. And it was recently, like I think 4 or 5 months ago, defaced following
really
the Trump election. Yeah, like
I did not know that.
Swastikas were spray painted all over it. They crossed out all of the like Star of David's on the sign, just like make America great again, and a lot of like anti-Semitic language
that upsets me so fucking much.
But it was only there maybe overnight, and then the next morning people in the community noticed, and fans and people living in that community and just members of that borough in Brooklyn came together and they cleaned that park up immediately.
That makes me happy to hear.
Man, and fuck those people, yeah. Man.
And Ad Rock and Mike D like made a statement just being like, we're not going to let his memory be defaced like this. We're not going to let our people be defaced like this. Like, we can't stand for this. We can't stand for hate. And the fact that everybody in the community came together to rectify this so quickly, that's what we need to do as a community, as a country. Like, anytime you see this, combat it immediately. Like, we can't let this kind of thing stand.
That makes me happy.
Yeah.
I like to hear that.
It's so heartwarming for me generally to see them be socially aware, socially conscious people, yeah. Because their early songs are so fratty. They really right, are. Yeah. Like, and I think just to see not only the maturity we were just talking about, where it's like, let's just be generally better people, but mm-hmm. to see them be willing to take stands on certain issues that are you wouldn't expect them to based on the the lyrical content right. of their early music.
And I think that is because License to Ill was so big, and when you think of Beastie Boys, you think of that, like Ad Rock in the red shirt with the yep. hat, you think of MCA with the leather jacket, Mike D with the famous like denim jacket.
Yeah, and those signature
the Volkswagen
medallion. Yeah, they were always so cool.
Yeah, they really were cool. I had like a huge crush on Ad Rock for a very large portion of my life.
I still do.
Yeah. But just the fact that they are aware enough that they have influence and that their voices are important and that speaking up about anything is going to at least get some people to listen. And I like that they know that they have that kind of duty and that influence, and they readily embrace it. Mm. Adam Horovitz, Ad Rock's wife, Kathleen Hanna, is in Bikini Kill.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And she was like, if you asked me 20 years ago, I could have written 18 albums about how much I hated these guys and what douchebags they are. And now, like, they're the nicest guys I've ever known. And, like,
that warms my heart so yeah. much.
She's like, they've really turned around and they're not, like, those jerky, like, college dudes that you...
Which you could have seen it totally going the other yeah. way, and that they just lived their entire lives as a giant middle finger yeah. and said, mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck if you think my lifestyle or my views are offensive, like, this is who I am, like, deal with it. And right. so I just value that in anybody, that they're able to continue to evolve themselves and to continue to grow as people. That's something that is so admirable to me and so impressive, because mm-hmm. It's not intuitive to everybody to keep improving themselves,
right?
Or to keep thinking critically about how they see and interact with the world. And if you gave me a list of artists or people that I thought would have that in them, Beastie Boys would not be on it. So again, just that's so heartwarming to hear, especially in a world that's so fucked up and where so many people are just unrepentant assholes.
Yeah, because it almost seems like the easier way to be. They're just like, I am going to tap into these like animalistic responses in myself, and I'm not going to apologize for it because that's who I am. And if like you can't accept it, then fuck you.
Yeah, they're going to be the person that like never really graduated high school. That same person, but they matured and they became better people for it, which is amazing.
I see it in myself too sometimes because our first instinct is to be defensive. If somebody calls us out and says, it's fucked up that you said that word or that you did this or you behaved this way. And so I think that defense mechanism makes it harder for us to reconsider whether what we're doing is wrong or hurtful or having a negative impact on the world. And so if you can get past, again, just really impressive to me that somebody could get past that defensive instinct, look at themselves and say, should I be less of a douchebag? And the answer is yes. And so I will be. It's great. I mean, that's the kind of miracle that that's like a Scrooge miracle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a Christmas miracle.
You watch a Christmas Carol and you're like, yeah, right. That guy's not going to have like an experience and just like totally changes the kind of person that he is. And so anytime you see real life examples of that, it's reassuring. Mm-hmm. Guys, just in the interest of time, I want to keep us moving. Okay. The next album, Hello Nasty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's get those bodies moving.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
let's start with that one. And that goes right into my other favorite song.
It's
which
awesome.
I think is another great contender for
I think it is my
talking
favorite.
About music videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the name of this, where the name of this album came from. So they're... the people that like represent you, their agency, it was Nasty Little Man, and the receptionist always answered the phone, "Hello, Nasty." So that's where the name of this album came from, which I really like.
That is so clever. Yeah. I love that.
this song is so great. Like,
it's so good. I'm just sitting here like dancing.
It makes you want to get up and get your body moving. It does exactly what it is.
Well titled song.
Yeah.
I'd be like remiss to say, because I am a huge Star Wars fan, that I am so happy now that J.J. Abrams is also a huge Beastie Boys fan. And you can see in some of his work, like Star Trek and stuff, they use it prominently. But in Force Awakens, they even named a character after License to Ill. They named him after Hello Nasty. His name was L.O. Asti. This got rid of the N and the H.
Yeah.
That's a great Star Wars name.
Yeah. And then on his helmet in Arabesh, they put License to Ill, which is pretty awesome.
It's awesome.
And he's like now one of three characters in Star Wars named after Beastie Boys songs, which is or album, which is sweet.
I love that. That's so cool.
So it combines some of my favorite things ever. So
your favorite fandoms.
Right.
I was so pumped.
And then Intergalactic, I just think.
This is quite possibly my favorite Beastie Boys song.
Really?
It's just like, it encapsulates all of the things that they do so well. Yeah. The raps in this are so tight. They're clever. So they've got some good punchlines. They have that rock beat, but it still has that
The use of echoes that they do in this.
Yeah.
Where they like, when they hit that rhyme with the other two in the back, it works so fucking well. It's like that offbeat. Like, this is so weird if I just heard this beat somewhere, but they make it work so fucking well and they go into it.
And again, really different for them. They're constantly reinventing themselves, mm-hmm. not just socially and morally, but also musically. Because this is not like No Sleep Till Brooklyn. It's not like Sabotage. It's a lot more electronic.
Yeah.
But it still works, and they bring the same attitude and energy to it.
Right.
And it so it just feels fresh like 10 years later.
Yeah. And they go for it. Like the song, in general, I mean, it's called Intergalactic. It's very sci-fi heavy. Even the video.
The video is so cool.
It's great. They're in those almost Devo-looking outfits.
Yep.
And they get the giant space monster and everything, and it's just
great. It makes you think of those old Godzilla movies.
Exactly. Yep.
It's great.
And just going back to it being more of an electronic sound for them, this is the one that Fatboy Slim did a remix of, right?
Body movement.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. This album it's right behind License to Ill for me. I love this album.
I was like super.
It's also again a lot more lyrically tight.
Yeah. Yes,
like it's more polished.
Not even like just this album in general. Like because this and another one of my favorite songs off this is 3M
Season 1 DJ. So good.
And even that, like their music video.
I don't know if I know that one.
Oh, it's great. You should, yeah, play that.
Yeah, because they worked with...
play that funky music, play that, boy.
Yeah, yeah, right?
They worked with Mixmaster Mike on this album for a lot of their beats.
And he's been working with them ever since, yeah, which is cool.
And they pulled him into that song, yeah, which is really cool.
And the video is literally just them in a basement rapping, yeah, like back and forth, like them going. And it's, yeah, such, again, quick, tight raps and beats. It just, it works so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good song.
This is a fun one. That's one of those ones where, like, you can tell it's just them, like, having a good time.
Yeah, it's just them fucking around in the studio. Like, hey, yeah, let's do this. It's the four of us. Let's go.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Doo-doo style.
It's so
good. So, and I honestly, I'm asking because I honestly don't know the answer. Did the larger hip-hop community end up sort of embracing them,
yeah,
or are they?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yep.
Yep. They were, was it 2015, 16, 14, somewhere in the past couple of years, they were introduced actually into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it was 2010 or 11, because it was,
was
like,
it that far?
It was right ago? Before Adam Young passed away.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. And it was right after Run DMC had been introduced into it.
Yeah, they're like one of three. Hip-hop acts that have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So, like, not only were they accepted in, like, the hip-hop community, but just the music community in general. Yeah. Which is awesome.
And they've gone platinum over 7 times, which I think is super impressive.
And they have, and there's 8.
Yeah.
And they have 8 studio albums.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard, too, because there's a lot of sentiment in the hip-hop community about white rappers getting... having the level of success that they do, because obviously that's problematic in certain ways. And for them, I'm not saying it's not ever deserved. Eminem is undeniably a virtuosic. Yeah. He's so talented as a rapper.
No, he's great.
and so... And not that they're necessarily as talented from a lyricism or rapping perspective as he is, but their sound is very distinctive. Yeah. And so you can understand why it would stand out and why it would be exciting, but you can also understand why people would be disturbed by the fact that the biggest hip-hop artists of all time are maybe Beastie Boys and Eminem and not... That's an exaggeration, but I mean, maybe the most commercially successful, because white audiences have an easier time embracing people that look like them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a disturbing trend.
Mm-hmm.
I remember J. Cole, who's a rapper that I really like. He has a line in one of his songs that's like, would my record sell if I looked like Eminem or Adele? And
the answer is probably yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
because he is very talented.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the same time, it's one of the kind of recurring themes of this show is people like what they like. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to the Beastie Boys and it speaks to you, and if you put on Sabotage and that does nothing for you, I don't know what to tell you. Like,
then get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And there's of course a ton of hip hop from the black community that's the same way that you put it on, and it's like, how can you not love that?
Right.
I don't think you should ever punish an artist for the fact that the larger populace might be dumb and or racist.
Yeah.
You know?
Good call.
Well, is there anything... I hate to even say this, because it just... it sucks that it happens with bands that sometimes they just sort of fade away slowly. They're still releasing albums, but nobody cares about them after a certain point. Mm. Are there albums or songs beyond this point that either of you think are worth highlighting or talking about?
There are a handful.
There are two for me that I would want to bring up.
Go for it. There's three other
albums. There's
three
more albums, yeah.
To the Five Boroughs.
We're into the mix 2000s up. Now.
Yeah, To the Five Boroughs.
Mix It Up and Hot Sauce Committee Part 2.
Yeah. One of the ones I wanted to bring up on To the Five Boroughs is An Open Letter to NYC.
Great song.
This one is really cool. It has those moments where they're all rapping together, which I think always sounds really cool because their voices are so different, but they blend together so well. And they also...
I love that they play the part of rappers and hype men for each other. Yeah. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Which really sticks out on Intergalactic, which is why I love it so much.
Yep. And this one too, you know, it's a post 9/11 kind of like love letter to New York and just talking about the diversity in the city and how that's what makes it so great. And just all the different boroughs coming together and, you know, this is where they're from. This is what made them. This is who they are. And just to get that piece of their history and have them basically thank the city of
people
of New York and the people of New York for like helping them become who they are and establishing their act. And it's just like a really cool song. Like the beat is really cool. The raps are super tight and interesting.
Literally every song you've put on so far that I've just literally almost zoned out and just been like into it.
Yeah. So this is just a standout for me. And it's one of those ones that I think is kind of a hidden gem because it wasn't released. It really is like a
huge
single. But it's definitely worth listening to.
Yeah. And if I'll just do like one from the rest of three, but Check It Out.
That was the other one.
Yeah, just because it's very similar to What You Want, almost. Yeah. Like the kind of check it out.
And I like that it's the first track on this album because it's like, check out.
Yeah, it's a great opener.
You've never sounded more white than on this episode.
I can't rap.
Yeah,
nor
it's
kind
of like What You Want, but it's like check it out.
Yeah, I'm upset I even did it. But yeah,
if the audience can't see Chinmo dancing right now, but it's.
I'm doing
equally white.
I'm doing the Macarena. Yeah. So,
yeah. I thought those moves looked familiar. I'll put that on.
The Macarena.
Yeah. We couldn't get enough out of the Beastie Boys, so it's half Beastie Boys, half Macarena episode.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's a classic.
The video.
Oh, I
also
recognize this.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And it's kind of their old sports. More hip hop based in the beat. The next album, The Mix Up, is an interesting experiment, I would say.
Yeah,
it's all instrumental.
It's literally a mix up.
Yeah. This one, whenever I listen to any of the tracks from it, it just feels like an Ocean's 11 soundtrack to me.
Yeah, kind of.
It's very funky. It is the perfect score for like a heist movie. It's good like atmospherically, but when I think of the Beastie Boys, I forget about that album.
Do you know this is probably their, in my opinion, probably their least forgettable album?
Most forgettable. Would you do you have a guess as to when the album came out?
What?
It was like 2005, wasn't it?
2005. I'll look it up right now. It's 2005.
2007.
Was it 7?
Yeah. That's crazy. Like that's like when we were in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier. They started as a punk hardcore band, but I think like it's not something you think of when you think of them that they do play instruments. Like they play drums and bass and guitar.
I wondered about that. I'd love to go back and do some research on it to see if, like, for example, the guitar work on What You Want or Sabotage or No Sleep and Fight for Your Right, if any of them are playing instruments. Oh,
it really is.
Huh.
Yeah, they used to have
on all of those tracks.
I believe so, majority
of them.
I love that.
In the early days, they actually had a female drummer, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, Kate Schellenbach, I believe her name was. Like yeah, because you started out, there was five of them, four guys and a girl.
Yeah.
A beastie gal.
But yeah, when they were, they named themselves after the Bad Brains. So that's where they get the BB for, the Beastie Boys, which is cool.
The band Bad Brains?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
That's where it comes from. And then when they transitioned out of that, they ended up being just the three of them.
Yeah.
And they went like the hip hop kind of route, which is cool.
Their last album, Hot Sauce Committee Part 2.
There was a lot of like.
In this decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2011.
And this is their last album ever. Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Because after Adam Young passed away, they were like, out of respect, we will not be the Beastie Boys
anymore.
Yeah,
then they didn't.
Like, they still have.
I love that. Again, that integrity.
Yeah, they still they have side projects, solo stuff. They produce and write for others, but like they don't do anything as the Beastie Boys anymore. Yeah.
They're also probably fucking loaded as shit, so they're probably fine.
And they're all,
but
pretty old now. They're like in their 50s.
Yeah, they're up there.
Yeah,
I know. Adam Horowitz at Rock does a little bit of acting and stuff now too.
Yeah.
He's in and out of there.
But they're
doing their thing.
The one that I wanted to point out on this album is Lee Majors' Come Back.
It's a good
or
one.
Come Again.
Come Again, I believe.
Yeah, right? Come Again. What I like about this song is that with this being their final album, this song in particular is like a punk song. So they kind of come full circle. Mm-hmm. It's their final album, but they pull in those punk elements, which is where they started in their roots. And I like that they, all these decades later, still acknowledge that and are like, this is a part of who we are. This is our base. This is where we started.
They really bring, not even on there, the big single from this one was Make Some Noise, which is a great song. Mm-hmm. But when they made the video for it, they made the song video for Make Some Noise, but it's also part of a bigger video, which is like 30-35 minutes, called Fight for Your Right Revisited, that like takes place right after the video of Fight for Your Right, and it's full of celebrity cameos. The Beastie Boys themselves are played by Elijah Wood, Seth Rogen, and Danny McBride, and then they get like a DeLorean comes out of nowhere, and it's the older Beastie Boys. It's Will Ferrell, Jack Black, and John C. Reilly.
That's so good.
But it's full of cameos. The Beastie Boys themselves make a small cameo of themselves at the end. Actually, MCA directed it, which is cool. He actually directed a lot of their videos under his alias was Nathaniel Hornblower, which I think is a riot. Such a funny name, because he was very into film in that creative process. So he did a lot of their videos, and it really shows in this one, like, how they did get back to their roots and still continued to move forward, which is awesome.
Yeah, and I think they knew this was their like swan song, so they wanted to kind of have a nice sense of closure for themselves and for their fan base. That's what it seems like.
It's very well done.
Yeah,
I love that. Was that a good place to leave them?
I think so.
I mean, it does suck because like MCA was sick. He died within a year after this, I think. Within a year.
Yeah, I think it was released like a month or two before he passed away. But they spent like the last year. And this was supposed to be a two-part album. It was going to be part one and then a year later be part two. And they eventually were only able, I think, to do like 16 tracks or something.
Yeah, so they made it into just the
and
part
they kept
two.
Saying, we'll get part one and we'll get part two. So then they just decided to name it Hot Sauce Committee Part Two so they could be like, we released part two.
Yeah.
Just so they, because they didn't want to like not live up to their promises and disappoint fans. And I think that's kind of like a nice inside nod to them. Like, we promised you part two. Here's
Here
part
it
two.
Is.
Yeah. And that was their, that's their last one. That's the last album.
Well, I feel like we've gotten to the bottom of the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Thank you for educating me on their musical journey. Usually we'll end the show with a drinking game, so I think we'll transition to that. So the game we're going to play today, Chinmo, you and Kat are going to be competing against one another.
You're going down, Kat, even though I don't know what the game is.
I probably will be going down.
Because
do you know what it is? You know what the game is?
I have an idea.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So you're going to be going head-to-head. It's a trivia game. So the idea is the first of you to buzz in.
I don't know anything about trivia. I'm not good at it.
I would say that's an inside joke for the audience.
It's because we do.
The time we spend together the most is probably A, doing podcasts, and B, playing trivia once a week. Yeah. So anyway, the point is, the object is to buzz in before your opponent. Okay. Because it's a drinking game and you don't drink, think of me as your designated drinker. When you lose a round, I'll drink.
You're about to get hammered.
When Kat loses a round, she'll drink.
Okay, that's fair.
Makes sense? Is the buzzer in a fair reaching point for both of you?
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
This might be Rhythm and Brews historical moment where we get none of them right.
Yeah, is this strictly Beastie Boys trivia?
So here's what it is. In honor or in the spirit of your show being such a comic-infused, a comic book influenced show, this is actually a trivia round on Beast Boy.
Oh, shit.
From the DC universe.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So I've got 9 questions that I'm going to ask you. The winner will have... best out of 9, basically. If you get 5 correct, you're the winner. You'll win today's prize, a copy of Drinking Buddies, the Drinking Man's Thinking Game. Are you guys ready?
No.
As ready as I'll ever be.
Here's the deal. If you buzz in and guess the wrong answer, you lose that round, whether or not your opponent wins. So that is a point in their column if you buzz in with the wrong answer.
I don't
want to
hit that buzzer until I'm absolutely
sure. There are going to be a couple of these. I'm going to leave them open-ended. I'm not going to give you multiple choice if you're both looking at each other like, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Which very well might happen here. Like, I know Beastie Boy, and I like him, but...
Sure.
I didn't go too insane.
So I hope that these are reasonable trivia questions.
Okay. All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So over the course of his appearances, he's appeared as both Beast Boy and Changeling.
Mm-hmm.
Which of those names did he appear as first?
Oh, she beat me to it.
I believe it's Beast Boy.
You're correct.
Yeah.
So I'll take a drink.
Pick up, Timmy.
I'm going to... just pull this buzzer right next to me.
Okay. So Beast Boy got his powers when he contracted a rare illness and his parents injected him with a serum that turned him into a specific animal for a 24-hour period in an attempt to save him. What type of animal did they turn him into?
It's really going to hope you're going to say what color.
Yeah.
What animal?
If you don't, if neither of you think you can guess it, I'll give you multiple choice.
I mean, I have guesses, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like
one. Well, I got one I'm leaning
towards. Save your guess and we'll see if it was one of them, okay? Right. So it's either an East African green monkey or a West African green monkey.
Oof.
Chinmo.
East.
You're wrong.
Sorry, I drank Tim. Complete guess. In my head, I was thinking like a gorilla or like a monkey.
I was thinking
gorilla
too.
Yeah.
And that was because of the Teen Titans Go episode where he decides that he's not going to listen to anything Robin says and he turns into a giant gorilla for the entire episode.
All right, so next question. The rare disease I mentioned.
Yeah.
What is it called?
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'll give you options.
Okay.
Sacudia or Dissentia?
Dissentia?
Sacudia.
I would have said Sacudia, yeah.
Take a drink.
They both sound fake. So
well, they are. They're made up.
Yeah.
So I think it's 2-2 right now. You've each got 2 points in your column.
Sure.
That actually cannot be true because we've only done three questions.
I have one right.
I say, Tim, Kat is
definitely
winning.
We each have a wrong guess.
You're drinking more than her, so.
All right. All right. Who is his main love interest?
You got that. That's you.
Kat?
Raven.
You're right.
Yeah.
Let me
drink
this delicious porter.
I might just have longer arms.
That's true.
Okay. So not counting any animated films, web series, or shorts, how many animated TV shows has Beast Boy appeared in to date? Kat?
No, that was
Jen. That was me.
Jen.
So just the shows? 2.
The answer is 4.
Really?
4? What are the other 2 besides the Teen Titans?
So it's Teen Titans, Teen Titans Go, Young Justice, and Batman Brave and Bold.
Oh, I didn't know he was in Brave and the Bold.
He's in one episode.
Oh, okay.
And I think he may not actually be as Beast Boy. He's his character. He's, forget his real name.
Garfield.
Yes. Yeah. He might be pre-powers, but he's
I should have known Young Justice because he's actually awesome in that show. I fucked up. Which I feel like I do all the time on trivia on this. I swear to God, I'm actually usually pretty good at trivia.
So this one might be a bit of a deep cut. I don't have a multiple choice option for you on it either.
Okay.
Which voice actor is he typically voiced by?
It's Greg Sipes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Take a drink.
We just talked about him the other day.
Also Michelangelo on the Ninja Turtles.
It was super funny when I was looking into this today. He obviously was linkable on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. It links to his Wikipedia page, and that links to his official website. And he has like a sizzle reel of him like surfing and appearing at panels.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so funny.
I've seen him at a panel before for Ninja Turtles at New York Comic Con, and it was like him and Sean Astin and a handful of other like the actors were up there, and they were talking about like how they were voicing their characters. And Greg Sipes was like, "I am psyched to be Michelangelo," and Sean Astin like. Interject. He's like, I'm pretty sure Michelangelo is psyched to be Greg Sipes.
Yeah, he's like surfer dude with like long blonde
he
hair.
He is. He's Beast Boy and Michelangelo put together.
Yeah, he's super young too. Like I always assume voice actors are like older for some reason.
All right, next question. True or false? There are actually two characters named Beast Boy in the DC Universe.
True or false? I'm going to guess because I'm far behind on this. I'm going to say that's true.
It is. Yeah.
It just felt right.
Final. Nope. Second to last question.
Okay.
Which of the Teen Titans is he closest with?
Was that me or you?
I don't know.
You guys are both so nice. Which one of you was it?
That was honest today. It's high.
I'm gonna say it's me and it's Cyborg.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
So I'll take a drink.
We tied it up.
Yeah.
That so this one is for all the marbles.
Yeah.
Woo. So the person ringing in, I want to be the person who thinks they can name four out of Beast Boy's five team affiliations over the course of the series. Or over his, you know, his like, appearances.
Are we talking like just comics or TV show, everything? Or do you not know from your answers?
I think it's both, but probably comic books specifically.
Okay. Wait, you want four out of five?
Four out of five, yeah.
I'm going to give this a shot.
Go for it.
I switched the buzzer by accident. It sounded like an old cell.
Yeah.
So Teen Titans.
Yep.
Young Justice.
Yep.
I believe just the Titans. No?
There's a geographical...
Oh, fuck. What is
Titans
it?
Titans West?
This is Chinmo's guess.
Sorry.
Titans West?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know...
You can help your opponent.
But for the last one, I don't think he was ever part of the Justice League. I could be wrong, but I feel like he might have been part of the Justice League International. I'm going to go with...
I've never heard of these, so I'll give you that clue.
I'm going to go with the Outsiders.
No.
No. Do you have any?
Yeah, there's no way you could do the other ones, right? So we'll give it to Chimo because he got as many as you got most of them.
Wait, give me, what's the other one start with? I want to see if I can get them.
A D. Two, there's two more. So one starts with an R, one starts with a D.
R and a D. All one word? Or like the something?
Oh, Runaways is one.
Yeah, so the R one is the R word.
Okay. I do not know.
It's Doom Patrol.
Oh, I didn't know he was part of that.
And the Ravagers.
I almost guessed Ravagers, but I didn't want him. Like, I'm just thinking that because of Guardians of the Galaxy.
I would have guessed all the ones you guessed, and I would not have gotten those.
Good teamwork, though. That was a high five at the end.
So, Chinmo, you win our prize. Well done, sir.
What do I win?
Drinking Buddies, the Drinking Man's Thinking Game. I should know my own tagline.
Cool. Now I have two copies.
I know. Give one to a friend. It's the Christmas season.
Tis the season,
guys. I'll turn it over to you to plug your podcast, which I think is great.
So Kat and I both do a podcast called Conquest, which I'm going to let her talk about because she's much better at it than I am.
Kat.
So it is a podcast where we talk about conventions we've gone to, fandoms we're really into. We have our panels on our weekly episodes. Mm-hmm.
Full
to
of a lot of our friends that
a
are
lot of our
knowledgeable.
Friends who are super fans as well. And we just talk about some pop culture things that are happening right now. You can find us at Conquest Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, as well as on the wasted-minds.com website.
Yeah. Those are my plugs as well.
Right on. I will just briefly plug wasted-minds.com. We have
we're links on there.
Yeah, you are. We have links to both our existing podcasts. We've got a couple of other podcasts in the works, or I should say in development right now. So keep checking back there on that. And then, of course, our flagship game, Drinking Buddies. We've got information on there. We're going to launch our Kickstarter campaign in the spring, so you can sign up for our mailing list at wasted-minds.com/Kickstarter. So check that out. Anything else from either of you guys? Any final thoughts on Beastie Boys? Final plugs?
If you've never listened to them before, or if you only heard their hits, give them a chance. Dive into them more because they will definitely surprise you. They are a fantastic band. They hit a bunch of different genres, I would say, in the musical categories.
There's something for everybody there. Yep. You just got to dig.
Yep. Take a listen.
Right on. Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you guys doing the show.
Oh, anytime.
Thanks for having us.
To everybody listening at home, here's to you.
Intoxicate.